And we are live. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crease tonight?
In the House of Crease tonight, we have a live show for you guys, and we have a guest on the show. Wow. He has a book called Fletcher Cross. It's a 120-page comic anthology, and his name is Kyler Merrill. So we'll be talking to him coming up next.
Let's get it. Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mans, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent, cast the Craze! Making moves on your own, cast the Craze! On your grind in the streets, cast the Craze! Join the movement. Catch the craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, the crazy man, Vera.
And I am with
George the Dreamer, Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. Like you saw in the soft open, we have a guest today that has a Kickstarter. It is live right now. And he has, it's 27 days to go. And The story is called Fletcher Cross. He's going to be talking to us in a few minutes. Big shout out to Mr. Kyler Merrill. But if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit the like button. Comment below. Do all those things. Hit the bell so that you know when we're going live. And as of right now, where are we at? We're at 598, Sammy?
598. Two away from 600.
Let's get to 600.
Two What's away going from on, 600. Shan?
How you doing, my brother? How you doing? How you feeling? How you living out there in Texas?
I'm down to the itchy coughs. Yeah, it's the itchy throat, you know, that I'm down to that. So the body aches and the shakes are gone, all that stuff's gone, and now it's just down. Now it's just I get that itchy coughing. So I just took a ginger thing for my throat. I'm like, I was doing a live draw early and I was like coughing like a bad bastard. All good in the hood, getting ready for Dallas Fan Expo. That's the next thing.
That's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's funny, you know what? You know, we had three conversations today, and you know, we were talking about it earlier. We're making fun of the fact that all of a sudden we had two conversations, and something happened. Well, we had a conversation about the fact that, you know, they didn't even offer electricity for the booth, and I got an email saying, "Would you like electricity for your booth?"
You guys speak it into existence.
I think I'm Thanos. I think I got the Infinity Rings or something.
Just wish for some money or something. I wish I had $20.
Two million net. Give me $2 million net. That's what I want. After taxes, after Uncle Sam takes his, you know, puts his hands in my pocket and takes half. You know, give me net. That's what I want. Just $2 million net. I'll be able to chill for the rest of my life.
I just asked for $20. That's sad.
$20.
That's some sad stuff, man. I keep it simple. But yeah, no, man. So here we are. We are live. Listen, we said we wouldn't do this, but a lot of shows were booked way in advance. So, you know, Kyler got in right before the cutoff. A couple of people. Yeah, we're going to have one tomorrow. Big shout out to JD Rosario. He's going to be on the show tomorrow talking about his project. So, yeah, so a couple of people snuck in. So, but I think by July, we should be.
People that, you know, were turned away because we just didn't have the room. You know, again, if you have a campaign,
book 45 days in advance of your campaign. Don't contact us, you know, the week you're going live, because we're not going to be able to have a spot for you. So book it in advance. This way you can get it, because it'll be pre-recorded and we'll be able to air it during your campaign. So do yourself a favor. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, get ahead of the curve. We want to, you know, promote everybody, but, you know, we do have a schedule to adhere to. So we want to maintain that schedule. Yeah, speaking of campaigns, I got one going on right now. Darius Uranius and, you know, we got how many days? I forgot how many days I got left. We got 22 days left. 22 long days. 22 days left. We're at 31 backers. We had 86 last time. So I'm hoping that the rest of the people that backed the first campaign come back for this one. If you haven't done so already, please do, because if you backed issue one and you come back for issue two, you're gonna get this magnet for free. It's a 3-inch by 4-inch. Look how big this sucker is. You know what? You know, this is not going to cost you a thing. You get this for free as a token of my appreciation. So if you're watching this right now and you haven't backed and you back now, let me know. Tag me. I will also, if you tag me right now that I just backed, I backed both campaigns, you'll get this plus a bookmark. I'm hooking you up. So all you have to do is say, Sam, I saw you tonight on the episode live. And this is what episode, what is this? 433?
I think. Yeah,
433. Yeah, 433. Episode 433. Sam, I saw you on 433. I backed it. And I'll write your name, make sure that you get both the magnet and the bookmark in the mail. Nice. So,
included with the package, right?
Included in the package. It'll be in the package. Yeah. So, I'm excited about that. Again, it has to be a physical. If it's digital, you'll get the same thing, but you'll get a digital copy. But there's 22 days left. 3 weeks. That's about 3 weeks. So, that's right. Because what's today? Tuesday. We launched it last week. This time, right?
Yeah, we launched it Tuesday. It's been a week. Yeah, it's been a week.
It felt like it's been a month. It's been a long week.
The campaign has been live for 1 week.
Slow crawl campaign. Oh my goodness gracious!
It's been a long week.
So, guys,
this is your chance to get issue number two. So if you read issue number one and you enjoyed it and your kids enjoyed it and they're asking you for number two, where's number two? Where's number two? Yes. Here it is. Number two is here. Sam's got it.
Don't make me sing that song from Rambo.
Yeah. Just make sure that you hit the link in the show notes and that'll take you right to the campaign.
Word.
Make your pledge. Sam is hooking you up with some magnets and all kinds of fun
stuff. So just tag me and just say, yo, Sam, I got it. What's up? Johnny into his house. Yay!
Johnny, where you at, son? John Syfax. Big shout out to Johnny. Coming back. Yes. He's catching us, it looks like, on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Switch on over to the YouTube.
Come over to YouTube. Venga aquí a YouTube, man.
What are you doing, eh? Link is also in the chat for you guys to check out the campaign. You're going to be actually towards the end of it. You'll be in the
Dallas Fan Expo.
So
I'm going to be at Dallas.
What do you got there?
Booth number A1409. So I'll be there. I have a special incentive for backers of the campaign who come to the expo. I got a special gift for you. So if you back the campaign, meet me at the Fan Expo booth A1409, and I got you. So it's gonna be fun. There's gonna be a lot of people there. I'll get to meet Paul Gomez for the first time. Mog Pock's gonna be there. We had her on the show. Nice. Katarina. Oh damn, what's the name again? I got there's a bunch of indies that we've had on the show. They're gonna be there, so I'm looking forward to meeting them face to face. That's gonna be good. And so if you're an independent creator and you're gonna be at the Fan Expo and you have a table or a booth, and you want me to shine a spotlight on you, let me know, because I'll be doing it every morning before we open up the doors to the public. I'm going to go around Artist Alley and Small Press and get some 5-minute excerpts from all the creators. So if you want to be on the video for Catch the Craze, just hit me up and I'll come down and see you and get a 5-minute, all basically just who you are, what are you doing, what are you promoting at the event, and then what's going on after the event. So it's like 5 questions. Short, sweet. I'll take some video shots at your table and we'll keep it pushing. But the, yes, I'm going to do it every morning. I can't do it during the show because, you know, 80,000 people is going to be crowded and I got to promote my stuff. I'll be at my booth. But before the show opens, I will go and get you.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, man. Shows are always, always a good time. I was actually over at Malvern Comic-Con in Long Island here in New York. I stopped by, say hello to a couple of the guys. I caught up with Wilson Ramos, Brian Kong, Eric Rivera was there. The Montalvo brothers, of course, and Duty did it. Oh, yeah. The Montalvo brothers, of course. And so, you know, it was a good time. It was a good time. It's nice to be out. Oh, James James Rodriguez was there also. So big shout out to him. Yeah. So
he's not doing his podcast, huh?
It was a good time. I don't know how often he puts them out. I think
He was doing it every week and then it just stopped.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still doing it. Yeah, good question. But he was there. He was doing commissions and stuff like that. You know, he was doing trading cards. He's an artist with Upper Deck for Marvel. So he's doing trading cards there, as was Brian Kahn.
And he also got a job at a comic shop, right?
Yeah, he's over at a comic book shop in Staten Island, New York. So
that's right, Jamie Rodriguez.
James Rodriguez.
I remember the old days, bro. I still watch the videos from the Indie After Party. That was the bomb.
Yeah, yeah. No, good times, man. Good times. These are guys that we go way back with.
Yeah.
Like these guys have been around for a very long time. Actually, Christian Montalvo, one of the brothers there who put together the show, wanted us to have like a presence at the show with the setup and everything like that. But with you being in Texas and me being here, it wasn't going to work out. But we're going to, you know, we try to figure out. He's trying to do that yearly. So hopefully next year, see how it goes. But yeah, big shout out to those guys, man. It's been fun. And as far as the on my side of things with the Kickstarter, for those who pledged, I've been sending out surveys. I have gotten a lot of them back already, so thank you very much. Make sure you check your spam folders and all that fun stuff for your surveys. I'm gonna need some of that info to get your stuff out to you. So we'll see. As of tomorrow, would have been a week. So anybody who didn't get a chance to fix their payments or whatever it is, tomorrow. Last day, 8:30 p.m. is the last moment, and your pledge drops. So,
boom! Guess who stepped in the room to cow?
Hey, so big shout out. What's up, Chris? So yeah, so make sure that you do definitely do that, and ignore the little post that Sam posts up while I'm speaking, and it distracts you from what I'm trying to say. Ignore that. Try to ignore that. I'm trying to work with him. You know, saying, all right, let's check who's in the chat. But, you know, it's a work in progress, my friends, as is everything. But yeah, no. So surveys are out. Surveys are out.
Survey says.
Shark. So what's going on? So do we bring in our guest after this special bump or what? What are we doing?
Yeah, just he's been popping in and out. So there he goes. All right, cool. So we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to our guest. And let's see. Yeah, we'll promote the girls from Raging. Here we go. Then welcome Kyla to Catch the Craze.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, what's going on, Kyla? Welcome. This is Kyla. I pronounce your last name for me because I always mess up last names.
No, you got it. It's Merrill. Kyla Merrill.
Kyla Merrill. So where are you coming from, Kyla? Where do you stay? Where do you live? Where do you do your base of operations here?
I'm based out of Oklahoma, but Ada, Oklahoma, actually. But right now, I'm actually on vacation in Austin, Texas. I'm just here because it just happened to be like these are the only 3 days that me and my girlfriend can get off, and so we had to do it. And I already had this, and we already went hiking. We went this morning, so you know we're already tired. It was like I got nothing to do tonight anyway, so it's a good way to spend the night. But yeah, mostly based out of Oklahoma, but been spending a couple days in Austin. So.
See, that's commitment, man. That's commitment. My man said, listen, I got a campaign. I'm on vacation, but I got to do this show tonight. So here he is. Yep. I got to hand it to you, Kyle. That's how you do it, man. So we were looking through the campaign. Fletcher Cross is the name of the book. Mm-hmm. It's a 120-page comic anthology. So it's a big, big project. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this whole, you know, comic book business.
I mean, I got into comic books in high school with the New 52. That's kind of how I always like to write and draw and tell stories and stuff. And that's how I got into actual comic books, you know. And so I started picking up The Flash monthly or as monthly as I could. But I still have all 52 issues. But I started on that. And then in college, I'd always wanted to make comics ever since then. And so in college, I just decided, you know, screw it, I'm going to do it. And so I just started making some online, just little, like, you know, 6 to 10 page comics. I posted them on a little WordPress website that I had. And at first I was trying to build a whole universe, you know, and everything like that. And then it kind of developed in, at first, Foreign Press Comics was the name for my website, for my stuff. And then I ended up deciding that I wanted to build that into a company, into an actual publisher. And so that's where we are today. I have a couple books that I've self-published that are my own, that I've written and drawn. A couple other, I have some things in the works. I have a comic called Sleep Sister Sleep with a creator from South Africa named Ian Vanderwalt. And I just have a lot of, that's kind of how Foreign Press started. And then Fletcher Cross, I'll leave it there. So I'll let you guys do what you do. So.
Yeah, no, by all means.
Sorry. I got the itchy throat. Yeah, go ahead, good George.
No, all right, cool. Yeah, no, I was just wondering that the name Foreign Press, where did it come from? Where did Foreign Press, the idea for that name come from?
There's not a good story, I'm going to be honest. I was talking to one of my friends. I was like, I need a name for like a comic, like just something to post my comics. He's like, Foreign Press Comics. And I was like, that's it. And so that's it. And so, I mean, I've kept kind of building it up. Like, you know, I added the compass for the logo, and then, you know, just I'm using that to like brand it, you know, all with like navigational themes, you know, for like branding purposes. But there's not a good story. It sounded cool. And so I did it, and that's what I'm not going to change it now. So
I hear you.
I mean, it's a good name. I mean, I think, you know, being the creator that you are, come up with some really crazy story and you'll add to the allure of that name. No one needs to know.
Yep.
Right?
That is true, man. Did you have any formal training as far as art and writing, Kyla? Or was that something that you picked up?
Yeah. No, I've never taken an art class. I always like wanted to take an art class like in high school and college and stuff, but I didn't like the idea of being like pigeonholed and being forced to do certain things. But you know, I was always drawing in my sketchbooks and the margins of my notebooks and stuff in school. And like I said, I always drew to write. Like I remember back like in third grade, we had these notebooks and I like wrote a chapter every time we were supposed to write in our book. She's like, you can write whatever you want, fiction, nonfiction, whatever. And I wrote like a chapter of this story. And like looking back, it was garbage. But you know, I still think, you know, it was impressive for a third grader to be like, I'm gonna make the story and try some semblance of continuity and stuff. But no, I don't have any formal training, you know, and anything like that. I'm a teacher by trade. So I don't have anything in the world of comics.
Gotcha. What were some of the first things you were writing about? Like, what were some of the stories? Because this story right here, it's a very cool story. It's very deep. But like, what were you writing even back then? Like, what attracted you? What kind of stories?
I mean, as a kid, it was always into anything fantasy or science fiction, mostly, you know, Percy Jackson, anything like that was what I was wanting to read. And so I was writing a lot of that. And then as I, you know, got into high school and started getting into comics, and I started writing more superhero stuff. And then that's just kind of became my deal for a while. And then I realized that, you know, comics are more than just superheroes. And so then I started writing more of everything. And so that's how we kind of came to Fletcher Cross and to the other comics that I've self-published. But science fiction is kind of my jam. Fantasy is really hard for me. I'm actually working on something fantasy at the moment, but like, I don't know. It's really hard for me to get fantasy work. Even though that's what I started on, it's hard for me to do it now. And I don't know why, but it just doesn't click in my brain. So
yeah, no, I gotcha.
Yeah. So Fletcher, you know, the guy, time hops. He goes from one realm to another. Where did that idea come from? Where was the moment? Where were you sitting? Were you in school? What was that moment where the idea just came to you? And what was the spark of interest of, I guess?
I don't remember the exact moment per se, but like, I remember, I used to live with my grandpa. And so, when COVID first happened, I did an anthology called Pandemic Panels. And the whole thing was, I had never done an anthology before. All I had were a few short comics to my name. And I was just like, screw it, I'm gonna do this anthology. And it's all digital. You can still find it on our website. At the original batch that we did, the proceeds all went to Save the Children. And it was kind of, you know, the beginning of COVID. So like, I was thinking, oh, you know, this will be over. Let's just do something positive for the little bit that's gonna happen. And then it, you know, what happened, happened. But so I had that anthology. And then about probably a year or so after that, I've been wanting to do another one, but I wanted to do something that really changed the format kind of. And so I messaged my friend Derek Crow, also from Oklahoma. And I was just, we worked together on a few things here and there. And I was just like, hey, I have an idea for an anthology. And I need someone to help me do it because I can't do it on my own. And at first the idea was just, and I remember for that conversation where I was on my back porch, my grandpa's house, because, and it was, like I said, it was COVID. So I was, you know, working out on the back porch with the little weights that we had because I couldn't go to the gym. And so I was working out there, and then I messaged him in between sets. And then we were slowly texting back and forth. And it started as just, we wanted to tell an anthology that each chapter was told by someone else, but by different creators, but altogether it told a complete story. And that's pretty much honestly where the idea started. And we knew we needed, I was inspired by like comics of the golden age, like 50s and 60s sci-fi stuff where, you know, like, you know, you look at old Superman stories and like one issue he's here and one issue he's there and there's no explanation in between. And so that's kind of was the vibe we were going for. But we wanted to make there some continuity in between those. And so we decided, you know, for that golden age theme, we wanted to do science fiction. We figured the easiest way to do that was to hop between dimensions. And so we invented the dimensionalizer, and we were kind of going for a corny thing on purpose. You know, we have like a lot of garbage sci-fi words. They're just, you know, with the word quantum thrown in front of them, just so it sounds cool. Cause that's what they did back then. And so it slowly developed, but like, yeah, that's the moment that I had the idea. I just wanted to tell an anthology that broke the format and did something different. It wasn't just, you know, here's just a bunch of stories all related to a theme that everybody did great, but I wanted to do something that had some semblance of continuity. And I don't know if we perfectly achieved that, but I think we did pretty good in terms of getting from the beginning of the story to the end of the story. And there's some semblance of an arc there, and that's all I wanted, because it's definitely a hard thing to do, because we didn't put any parameters on our writers. We just kind of said, do what you want, and then we had them like give us a pitch. And we just approved it or denied it, you know, made them work a little bit. And then we pretty much just, me and Derek just ordered them however it fit to make the comic make sense. And so it just worked out. It worked out good enough. I think as good as it could, considering what we were trying to do.
Yeah. No, it's quite an undertaking to gather all of these creatives and be able to do that. How long did the process take? How long were you guys working on this thing?
I think probably... I think we started in probably September, like fall of 2020, and then we had the first we actually ran a Kickstarter campaign last year in August of 2021. So from, it's probably about 8 months from, or 8 to 10 months from original conception to Kickstarter date. And with the Kickstarter, the book was done. Like we had a few things we needed to edit, like, you know, we need to fix the lettering on this page or fix the, you know, this one needed to be recolored or something. But for the most part, we had the book done in about 8 to 10 months.
Wow, that's pretty good, man. Holy cow.
So I don't know that was a good thing.
So of all the shorts, which one is your favorite?
I'm partial to the two that I wrote. I really think there's one by, I don't know, I think they're all good in different ways. Like they all are definitely creators working to their strength. because we did pretty much give them free reign. Like, all you had to do is use this character, and at the end of the story, he has to disappear into a portal. That's it. And so we just, you know, some people just did what they did best, and I think that really worked out. I'm partial to, there's one called Hollow World by Sonia Kinsey, and he ends up on this world where he quickly gets taken in by this tribe of, or he gets kidnapped by these lizard people, and he gets taken inside to this, turns out the earth is hollow, and then this tribe of warrior women comes and saves the day. And again, that's Sonia working to her strength, doing art that fits, doing a story that fits her art style, everything. She wrote and drew that story. So it just, I really like the story, and plus it just flows really well. I think that's one of my favorites. But like I said, all of them are good in their own way because they're everyone playing to their strengths and doing what they do best.
Right. I think the one that stood out to me was the one where he ends up, it's foggy. They want to sacrifice him. There's a demon. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty cool one. It had a spooky element to it, you know, trying to figure out, is he going to make it out? You know, and I mean, I like the premise of him getting somewhere, causing a reaction, figuring out he needs to get out. Is there any plans on like fleshing out one of those stories into a full story rather than do it breaking up into shorts in the future? What's your plans for the actual character himself?
Well, for the stories in the anthology, I mean, it's not an issue. It's just, it's something that me and Derek have been discussing as far as, because originally we were just going to let everyone, at one point we kind of want to let everyone just do whatever they want with the character, but I think we kind of decided against that. And so we're not going to continue the individual stories, but definitely if you read the book, if you back the story on Kickstarter, which at the time right now we get one more and we'll get our next incentive. But it ends in open-ended. So we could very easily, and because of the nature of the book and the fact that it can take place in any genre,
right,
we could do this for, you know, as long as we want to. And so, I mean, I think there are ways we might do the process differently if we decide to do it again, but there aren't plans at the moment, but there very easily could be, just because that's the way the story was set up with that in mind.
Right. All right, cool. So I have your page up right now. So walk us through, what are we looking at? And how long is the trailer?
The trailer is like 40 seconds. I don't know. All right. I kind of threw the trailer together on a whim. Just doing it myself. I'm not an expert on you know, editing or anything like that. I just use my phone. So.
Right. Okay. So let me...
Yeah. You want to play it?
Yeah, I'm going to play it. Hold on.
Go for it. That's it.
It's not bad, man. That was pretty good, man.
Yeah. I just like I said, I threw it together kind of on a whim. It was just someone had suggested the app CapCut to me. And so I just kind of just threw it together. I used the audio that came with it and just, you know, I think it looks all right. There is one page that showed up there that I did want to shout out. Am I allowed to curse on y'all's podcast?
I'm sorry?
What? Sorry, I got weird here.
Am I allowed to curse?
Hold on one second. I have
a TV. Well, no, I don't have to. I don't have to. There's one comic that I like that's called, I won't say it, but it's called Expletive Nazis, and okay. F Nazis, okay. I guess you could say. Okay. And I wrote that one with Veronica Jones, who also did a cover, and I'm really proud of that one. There's a literal punchline in the comic. It's one page, but it ends on a literal punchline, and I think the message is timeless. Plus, I don't know. I just like the fact that it ends on a punchline. I think it's funny. But yeah.
The whole story and the premise reminds me, there was a show in the late 80s, early 90s called Quantum Leap. where it's about, you know, it was about a guy, you remember that show, and it has that vibe to it. So it's kind of cool. I really like the fact that you're kind of going into that with this particular book anyway, because you, like you said, it may not be, you know, it may not continue, but the fact that you guys were able to do that is very impressive, man. I'm very impressed by the fact
I appreciate
that
it,
so many people involved, because when, as you scroll down and you see the list of artists and writers, you know, it's a pretty big, it's 120 pages, I think.
It's 120 pages, but that's including back matter and everything like that. But there's 18 stories from, I think I counted them today, and it's 22 creators, 23, because I forgot. There's someone on the Kickstarter page, Eros Denardi, who's a colorist on The Tide, the one that you mentioned earlier, who I forgot to include on the page. So I'm going to go, when I get home, I'm going to edit that, add him in there. But I think 23 people altogether, 24 counting myself. So yeah, it was a lot of people. It was a lot to wrangle. But I think
No, that's awesome, bro. Looks good.
So tell us about your tiers and what backers will get.
The tiers are pretty basic. We just have, sorry, I'm gonna pull it up myself so I, you know, don't forget. Because I made the Kickstarter, like, I mean, you guys know Kickstarters. I made the Kickstarter like a month or two ago, made all the tiers, and then I kind of haven't looked at it. I glanced at it a couple times to make sure everything looked okay, and then I was just like, it is what it is at this point. I'm just going to go for it. Let's see. View your rewards. There we go. We have a digital tier. For the first 2 days, we have our early bird copy, which is the print version. And then we have our standard tier, as you know, I like to call it. It's just a printed copy of the book, $20 plus shipping. Then we have we have three different prints. We have one from Jack Fantom, who's part of the book. We have one from Sonia Kinsey, which goes with that Hollow World story that I mentioned earlier. And we have the one from Veronica B. Jones, which is the cover. So we have three different prints. You can choose which one of those you want, or you can go for $40 and you can get all three. So, you know, the prints are kind of our big deal. We're going to include some stickers with it as well, because, you know, we had stickers with our original campaign, so I'm going to continue that. And then we have our retailer tier. And then at the back, we have, you know, you can get an ad on my podcast, Comics Unscripted. For $100, you get a script edited by myself and Derek Crow, who's the co-editor on this project. And I don't know. I mean, like, neither of us has, you know, a ton of editing work to our name, but I think between us, we both edited this, obviously. We both do. He has a lot of experience actually editing. He is editing a book for me on my website. He has a few other things here and there. And then, you know, you can also get a backup story with in another foreign press comics book, because we do a backup in every one shot that we do. So. That's part of it. But, you know, there's nothing really fancy to it. The first round, we kind of had a lot of different things. But I just decided this second, like the first time, you know, all of our reward tiers had fun names to them and everything. But this time, I just wanted to go really basic, because I looked at a lot of Kickstarters. I'm a big numbers guy, a big data person. So I looked at a lot of numbers, and it's not really that different, you know, in terms of how much money you make, whether you have this really elaborate Kickstarter or you have just a very bare bones basic thing. And I kind of went in the middle, you know. I have like labels and I have all these different things, but I didn't want to go overboard, because I don't know, I just didn't see any real value in it, in going too far, you know, because I didn't see there's any difference. And in my personal experience, because like I said, we've run this before and weren't successful. So this was just, you know, we kept it a little basic this time, but I think that's not a bad thing.
Gotcha. Where are you as far as production of the book? Is the book complete, or are you still working on some pages? Where are we with that?
It's mostly complete. We do have, I was in contact with one of the artists today. His lettering on his story was just like, it's a little bit too small for print. So, we had people review, and several people commented that that print was really small. So, you know, we're making that, we're shrinking down the lettering on a couple of the other things. There's a couple of the ones that I lettered, honestly, I lettered them way too big. And so I'm going to go ahead and shrink all that down. There's a lot of little things like that we're still fixing, but we're honestly really close. Like, and I think that on the Kickstarter, it says that October 2022 is our expected production date or fulfillment, whatever it says on Kickstarter. And so, oh shoot, we just hit 20. That's great.
Yeah, you just
Well, then I gotta tweet something in a minute because for every 20, we did this in our pre-launch. Sorry to get off track, but I'll just shout this out while I'm here.
Go for it,
on our pre-launch campaign, for every 20 followers we got, we added another book to our digital comics bundle, which is gonna come with every single reward tier. And so far we've added Project Starless Daydream, which is an anthology edited by Frankie White. We have Rick Flash and the Adventurenauts, which is by Mark Pate. And we have Fairy Fair by Nick Ryan. And I can't remember the artist's name, but Nick Ryan's also one of our writers in this book. So we have three books so far. And now that we've hit 20 backers, we will add another one. Not sure what that is. I have a list of people who gave me their books to add. So I'm going to have to go after this and go check which one we're going to add next. But so now you get four books with every reward tier, four digital copies. So, you know, every 20, we'll add some more. We'll keep going. I got off track there, but
that's a good incentive, man. So you just keep adding stuff as you get the backers involved.
That's
awesome, man. It's funny how you say that, the whole thing about, you know, being a numbers person and how some things affect. It's almost like what they'd say about videos, you know, like videos on a page too. Like some people have them, some people don't. Like I didn't have one on my campaign and it was fine, you know what I mean? So like it's, you know, it depends on what you want to do with your campaign. Now, as far as the goal itself, so once you reach the goal, are you planning on doing anything beyond as far as stretch goals or anything like that for people who may be looking forward to stuff like that?
We will have some stretch goals. Those are still being talked about with me and Derek and I, but one part of it was we didn't want to get too cocky because this is our second attempt at the campaign. We didn't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but we do have some things in mind. Like I said, there are some, we have some stickers, and so we'll add some to that. I'm thinking about adding another little small chapter to the book as well. So we'll see how things go, but we don't really have anything in stone yet, just because we're kind of playing it by ear. Because, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I'm afraid I'll jinx it. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to get too cocky and put it out there and be like, so right now we're sticking with the 20 backers and, you know, adding a book every time. And hopefully that's an incentive in itself. And so we'll see about that. But yeah.
Yeah. Just want to ASAP Imagination says, what's up? This all looks awesome. The art is fire. Next steps, what's going on? Anything else in the pipeline besides this campaign? What's the future look like for Foreign Press?
We have another book that we've announced by Jay Sheik, who's also done on the Kickstarter page that says The Beginning. It's the first chapter. He drew that. And so we're working with him. He's going to write and draw a story called Frosty the Hellmouth. It's about 80s. It's set in the 80s. It's about this town builds the biggest snowman in the world. And a kid in the town is practicing satanic black magic. And so ends up, you know, bringing the snowman to life. We have a giant demonic snowman raging through this town, 1980s, and it's all about generational trauma and things like that. And so we're working on that with him. We have an anthology that we are getting ready to send out acceptances for, called Smash Quarterly. That's going to be in 2024. We're working on that with co-editor Devin R. Scott. It's suspense, mystery, action, sci-fi, horror. And we're going to put out one every quarter of the year. Just an anthology of just short stories. And then we have another anthology that we're going to announce right after this campaign ends that I haven't announced yet. So I'll leave that to me, but we are going to announce another anthology pretty soon. So that'll be good. And then I do have a couple other people that I'm, you know, in talks with to get books, you know, ready to go and things like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. We have that sounds fun.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of being an independent creator, is that you can write about anything. You know, demonic, you know, snowmen taking over towns in the 80s. I mean, like, where else are you going to find that kind of stuff? So good for you, exactly. Carlo. I'm glad you're doing it, man. And hopefully, you know, this gets funded right away. You can actually go in there and do, you know, some more fun stuff for the campaign. But man, this has been great. Where can they find your stuff? You know, give us your social handles, your website.
The website is formpresscomics.com. Pretty easy. You can find us on, we're most active on Twitter at FPressComics because Foreign Press Comics was too long. And then, you know, you can always find us on Facebook at Foreign Press Comics, Instagram, Foreign Press Comics. Technically, we're on TikTok too, but I don't really do that very much. I tried for a little bit and then it got too complicated. And so it got too much. It's not complicated. It just was too much to keep up with like four different social medias. So, but yeah, just look at Foreign Press Comics on wherever you are. But we're most active on Twitter. So, and also subscribe to our email list because when we get 100 subscribers, I'm going to release just to the subscribers the first comic that I ever, first full comic I ever did. It's called Archangel. It's about this guy with mental disorder, and as he slowly starts hearing voices, and how that relates to his religious trauma and superpowers and things like that. So subscribe to that email list. Like I said, just look us up wherever. We're there probably. So.
All right, so we're at that point where we're going to give you the screen, and you're going to give us the elevator pitch. You know, why Fletcher Cross? Why should people back it? So here you go.
Okay, Fletcher Cross is an engineer who doesn't feel like he's given the credit he deserves, and so he takes the dimensionalizer and tests it without approval, and he's launched into a series of multiversal adventures, and Fletcher's forced to find his way home before his own pride gets in the way. Backs on Kickstarter. You can find it on any of our social medias. And for every 20 backers, we're going to add another digital book campaign. So far, we have 4. Hopefully, we can add more. Like I said, just back the book. You get another free digital comic. And then follow Foreign Press because we got big things. We want more people to be around for that. So, yeah.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Thank you, Carla, for being on the show. You know, congratulations on getting another backer tonight. You got 27 days, so the hustle begins. Again, you know, and thanks for reaching out for Cast It Crazy, and we wish you a lot of success, brother.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Enjoy the rest of your vacation, brother. Be good.
Peace. Appreciate it.
Take care. Peace. All right.
So that was Kyler, Foreign Press, Comics, Fletcher Cross. Really great concept. You know, check it out. The link is in the summary. If you haven't checked it out already, please do so. Again, if you want to be a guest on Cast It Crazy, if you have a campaign, book it 45 days in advance. Don't try to get on last minute because it's not going to work. You know, book it 45 days in advance and we'll get you on the show. If you don't have a campaign and you just want to promote what you do and your endeavor and your business, whatever, hit us up. You know, we're looking to talk to creators about their creative work. It was a good show.
Yeah, no, man. Big shout out to Kyler. I'm telling you, like, anthologies are tough for me as far as like, because you got to put so many people together. So when somebody accomplishes that, it's very impressive to me. I mean, this anthology is 120 pages. You have a number of stories. The cool thing about it is that you have one intertwining character that jumps in between each story, and it's drawn by different people. That's kind of cool. It's a little different. So that's actually really, really dope. And right now, for everyone watching, you know, he's got that early bird special, $15 for a 120-page book. Isn't bad at all.
That's so a steal.
Yeah, so if you guys want to check that out, for sure. Yeah. Definitely. It's funny because I saw the name of somebody we've had on the show before, Kike. I think his name was in here. Yeah, and Kike Lopez. He's got a story in the book, and we've had him on the show before. So, check it out. Check it out. Yeah, check it out. Check out the book. Check it out. Give it a follow. Even if you want to wait, the campaign ends July 5th. So definitely check that out. Give Kyler some love. It's good. Good show, man. We'll have more. Just talking to creators. We want to get some more outside of comics, right? We want to get some indies in music. You know, whether you do all kinds of different things. So if you are
literature, you know, that doesn't have to be comics. Literature, you know, authors, published authors, teachers, creatives, producers, you know, screenwriters. Right. Filmmakers, you know, if you're out there and you're the hustle is real and you're grinding all the way to the top on your own, Hit us up. Let's get you on the show. Let's talk about your endeavor. Let's, you know, let's get some more eyes on what you do. You know, so we want to talk to a lot of different creatives out there. Because that's what, you know, that's what Cast the Creator was founded upon. It was really about the creator. You know, the world has changed, and crowdfunding has become the thing. And for a minute, we just became the crowdfunding show. So, you know, we want to go back to our roots. And we'll always spotlight you and help you promote your campaign. We really, really want to talk to the creatives and about their process and about the journey, the life lessons, all those things, the fundamentals, the stuff that our listeners will learn from or get some good insight into worlds that maybe we never even thought, you know, even considered. And, you know, maybe create some sort of spark of inspiration for others out there. So that's what we want. That's what excites us. And so we're looking forward to that. So if you're out there and you're creative, just hit us up and let's get this going. Let's get the chat happening.
I like the, you know, just talking to people and talking about their process. Everybody's got a different process to do the same thing. You know, we don't all do the things we do the same way. And I think that talking to somebody and finding out how, for example, you put together a story or you, you know, created a song or wrote a lyric or whatever it is you're doing. Like Sam, what is it that motivates you to write, you know, a song? You know, what happened when you were writing the theme song for the show? Like, things like that. Like, these are the
I was watching Patrick David. I'll tell you what it was. There's a theme song to a show. It's a really popular. He's an insurance person. He's a millionaire, and he runs one of the biggest insurance companies in the world. And but he has a show called Valuetainment, and he hired a rapper to do his theme song. And I thought it was fire. I said, yo, I want something to mirror that. I want to compete with that theme song. And that was the spark for the Cast of Crazy. Seriously, that's how it was. I was like, yo, that is fire. If I can get something that can get me hyped when I start this show, to get the guests hyped when they come on the show and they hear that theme song, that's what I want. So I just went into the lab and I just started cooking. And that was it. So it's usually anything I do, it's usually influenced by somebody else's creativity. I get inspired by others' creativity. That's how I work.
Right. Yeah. It's a thin line sometimes with that. And I'll tell you why. I think because it's hard not to copy it. You know, it's like you walk a thin line between, you know, maybe doing an homage to it or just straight up.
It's like Pharrell listening, you know, to Timbaland. He walks in the studio, Timbaland's rocking a beat. He's like, oh, hell no. Pharrell's going back to the studio. He's like, I got something to rival that. And then bang. And then Timbaland comes down, drops another one with, you know, and that's how, you know, that's how it is.
How it is for you. I think that's how it is for you. I don't think that's how it is.
Even for producers, if you watch some of the documentaries.
No, what I'm saying is that's not how it is for everybody. I think that's how you get motivated. That's how you create. Because I'll tell you this, I don't create based on who I'm going to compete against. I don't. I sit down, I think of a story, I research it, and I write down what I want to write down. You know, like, I think it's different.
The theme song was different because I wanted something that was pumping and I needed something to influence that. When I'm writing my story, it has nothing to do with anybody else. It had to do with Judy talking to me personally and saying, hey, you know, write my story. And that's how that came about. But when it's come to something like, you know, where it's something that you know, for me, I was like, how do I get my theme song to pop? And I listened and I just happened to just watch. I loved Valuetainment because it's very informative. And then I just like, wait, he got a new theme song? What the hell's that? And I was like, oh, shit, that's popping. I said, yo, can I do something like that? And that was it.
Throw the MA
thing. Yeah, I was like, Shazbots.
Just dropped the ass bomb real quick.
I said, what the bloody hell is that? That's just fire. But that's how it is. You know, so I think, you know, even like when I played sports, you know, I was good.
But that's what I'm saying. Sports.
When there was somebody good on the court, I played better.
But that's what I'm saying. We're talking about different things. Yeah, I think you're talking about creating the theme song, which is cool. That was that. That's different than playing a sport. If we're playing a sport, dude, if we're on a court or whatever it is, somebody's got to win. It's not going to turn out as a tie, and I want to win. So I'm very competitive when it comes to that. When it comes to the creative arenas, it's not a competition. it's more, and I think I was talking to Aníbal. Big shout out to him. He mentioned something. He said, I look at this as like at a DMA. Here he goes again. See, I'm about to say something. So Sam decides I'm gonna drop some. Let's pause and let's see what the crowd will say before. Damn,
you're
right.
I'm dying here.
You okay? I'm dying. You're right. What were they saying? Post it back up. Let me see what it says.
DMA. Oh, a little too late. Stop acting up, Mark.
Yeah, well, bloody hell, you're sounding like me.
I know, I'm dying here.
No, but so yeah, so I think that it really depends on what you're doing. I don't look at everything the same way. I look at things depends on what I'm doing. It depends on where I'm at. You know, it's like it's about reading the room and what I'm doing.
Yeah, for me, it's like for me, I think for me, I'm always looking for inspiration, no matter what it is. I don't care what it is. If I'm in the park and I'm sitting down with a sketch pad, I'm looking at nature. I'm looking at whatever it is. If I, you know, when I see, like, I just picked up the collection of Calvin and Hobbes, the full volume. I get inspired just by looking at that work, and it makes me want to get creative. So for me, I find creativity no matter where it is, and I'm always inspired by people who do it well. And because I'm like, where were they mentally at that moment? You know, how do I get into that? Because I believe that when you're at your best, it's like your spirit and your body's one. It's like you're in a zone, you know, and it's like, how do I get into that zone? You know what I mean? And so sometimes you're out of a funk and I can't. Like today, I went online to draw and I wasn't feeling it. I was forcing what I was going to draw because I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do. And I didn't have any spark of inspiration, but I knew I wanted to go online just to draw, just to try to drive some traffic for Disneyland on my toilet. So it wasn't something that I'm like, oh, wow, I really love this piece. It was just something I did for the moment. And then I realized that when I was done with it, I said, you know what? I need to get creative. So I said, well, I went downstairs and I picked up a book of one of the masters that I admire. And I, you know, just started reading it to see if I can get some inspiration from them.
I agree. That's inspiration. When you talk about competition is you want to draw it better than that person drew it. That's the competitive. That's what I look at as competition. I'm trying to do that better than that person. Inspiration is different. Inspiration is what you're saying. Like you weren't feeling it. You went out there. Yo, that looks dope. That inspires me to do it. That's different than competition, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I said, yes, I definitely have the zone. I use music to help inspire me. More scores. Yeah, you know, I think it takes a lot to be creative. You know what I mean? To really be in the element, in the moment. I think it has to be a story you truly want to write. Yeah, I think it's like, but even if it's something you love, sometimes you're just not feeling it that day. You know what I mean? And I think that's when you need to reset and reset your batteries. And that's why I try to pull from everywhere. I watch a lot of different things. My daughter was fascinated when she realized that Duty was standing on Earth the way astronauts stand. Oh, that's cool. Cool.
That is so awesome because that's like the mind of a child, man. Yes. That's awesome. I was talking to an artist and he said, I don't care how few people are here as long as they're all buying from me.
Good luck with that one. You know, it's funny. I was talking about it when I was drawing today. I was like, Fan Expo is going to bring in 80,000 people. That's freaking amazing. I said, if I can get 200 of those, I'll be happy. You know what I mean? I was like, because I know you're not going to get 80,000 people, you know, but I'm like, all right, if I can get 200 of those people to pick up something from my table, I'm good. I'm happy. So, you know, my goal, I have a number.
It's a numbers game. It really is. But you know, and that guy that Mark was talking about sounds like the type of guy who will just, if somebody's at your table, Sam, he'd be like, hey, come over here. Forget what's over there. You're going to buy from me. Like, it sounds like that guy. Throat. Yeah.
Yo, back up, son. You wait till I'm done. Because I'm not the one. I bit my tongue.
Consequences and repercussions.
Consequences and repercussions. Yeah. What was that movie again?
Life. Hilarious.
I think it was Martin couldn't hold you see that the outtakes?
Yes.
Yeah. Martin could hold the straight face, but the other guy was like we had the Aunt Jemima bandana on.
Yes. None of them could. That was Bernie Mac is in that movie. Rest in peace. It was that movie's underrated, bro. It's one of, Like him and like, you know, what's his name? Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. It's one of the funniest movies they've made together.
Oh, hilarious.
It's so funny. But I know, but what were you saying? Like,
no, Palcon. Like, I bit my tongue with that guy that kept stealing all my sales. And I was like, all right, Sam, be nice, be nice. It's just a Comic Con, just be nice, you know. But what does it say? Be nice until it's time not to be nice. What movie is that from?
I don't know. That I don't know. You got me.
Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze.
Roadhouse, yes. Oh,
right. That was another classic.
Oh, man. Now you're right, though. Now it's going to be good. Listen, talking about shows, I had a table at a con once, and on the same aisle, we had a potential customer poacher. I really hate it. Dude, they're the worst. They're the worst, dude. Like, there's like an unwritten rule. You got to wait until that person passes the line between your table and their table. Yeah. Once he's on your side of the table, okay, that's you. But if he's still holding on to the other side of the table, you got to let that sale go until he's fully on your side, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have pepper spray.
You can't do it. Like, yo, go away.
I'm going to have fart spray. I'm going to
Wow. Yeah, you're gonna scare the people away too. It's going to kind of work the other way.
You know what? I'm going to call for the guy.
Wow.
That's even worse today. Jeez. Remember, you cough 2 years ago, and nobody would think of that. Now you
in an
cough
elevator?
Do not. Everybody stop.
Do not cough in an elevator. Do not do it.
Oh, shit. Oh. You're going to get lit. You're going to get jacked up.
Yo, you see what Mark just said? Check that out.
What
was it up? I've seen people jump in on conversations. Yo, how crazy is that? Act like he's also in the conversation just to take that customer away. That's bananas, bro.
Yes, that's crazy, man. In desperate times. Oh, yo, yeah. This thing brings 80,000 people. If you feel like you got to steal a customer when you have that many people, yo, dude, relax.
Take it easy. Take it easy, bro.
Yeah, I was like,
it happens. Man. It freaking happens, man. Happens.
I know.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow, Sam?
This beat is bananas. Beat. A-N-A-N-A-S. What's happening tomorrow? What's happening? Go ahead.
Okay, we have two live shows tomorrow. Guys.
Two live crew? Don't stop.
No, actually, one live show. One live show. We're pre-recording one that'll air on Friday. So tomorrow we're going to have J.D. Rosario come through.
For Rosario.
Four chases live on the show. If you guys watch J.D. Calderon's show, J.D. Rosario will be hanging out out there on Sundays.
Hanging with the homeboys.
Talking that shop, talking about indies. He's been in the game for a very long time, so I'm sure he's going to have a lot of stories. He also has a Kickstarter, obviously, called Storm Chasers, that's being funded on Kickstarter right now. So he's going to be on the show tomorrow, and then on Friday we have Marvin Nguyen, who also has a Kickstarter, but that's going to be a pre-recorded show, and we're going to be talking to him.
Yeah, he killed it already. J.D. Rosario needs a little help. He's like 94% there. Marvin Nguyen is on fire. He blew his goal away like on the first like 10 seconds. Not like us little guys out here. We're still like on that train. That's the sound of the man working along, on the train.
Chugging along.
Hey,
chugging, just moving. So they're gonna be coming on the show tomorrow night. So make sure you tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. We're gonna have some fun. We're also going to have some fun on Thursday morning. Thursday morning.
Yeah, the morning brew with the crazy crew.
That's right. We're
talking about handling adversity. You know, what to do when things go south. When
ish hits the fan.
Yes, Marvin was hustling that coffee reward.
I've noticed there are quite a few, well, not a few. I've noticed a couple of independents that have coffee included into their story somehow.
Really?
Johnny C has it. Johnny C has some coffee with his comic, and now Marvin. So that's interesting. We're gonna be talking to Marvin. That's gonna be fun.
Speaking of coffee, my father-in-law, you know, God bless him. The guy, he knows I love espresso coffee, right? And he knows I have an espresso machine.
Yes.
And I have an espresso machine that uses specific espresso pods. And so he sends me like a 4-month supply of espresso pods. It arrived last night. And, they're perfect. He knows the size and everything. He's been doing it for the past 5 years.
Oh, when you said God bless his soul, I thought he made a mistake.
No. I mean, just the fact that the fact that he knows I love coffee, and every 4 months I get a re-up. He's just. I'm like, I said, you don't have to do it. He goes, I know. He goes, just enjoy it. I was like, damn. You know, and it's awesome, you know, and oh my God, and it's the best. It is the best.
Okay, so what's a month supply to you? Like what, like how many?
He says me 120 pods.
Oh, 120 pods. Okay.
Yeah. He says
that,
me
120. That'll last you for the month?
That'll last me a couple months. Yeah, because I have about two pods a day. So yeah, it'll last me a couple of months. And then next, you know, bang, that, you know, when I'm at the last one, somehow he knows, it's like, bang, ding dong.
Somehow he knows.
Cause I don't even talk about it, but you know, maybe I think he got excited because one day when the first time I got it, I did a video of me dancing with the coffee pods. And I sent it to him, you know, just like as my way of saying thank you. And I did this crazy dance. He's legit. I mean, he's just awesome, you know?
That's cool, man.
He's tracking you. That's right. Yeah. You know, it sucks getting old because when you know, 20 years ago, we would go whitewater rafting, we go biking on the mountains and all that stuff. You can't do that anymore. You know, and you realize how precious life is and time just goes by so fast. You know what I mean?
Wow. Sam, you're depressing us right now. Jesus Christ. Bro. Holy cow.
You're emotional, George.
Oh my God. I'm like, dude, we're looking at our mortality now. We're like, oh, this is terrible. What a way to close the show. Holy cow. Oh, man.
Oh, I know.
Quickly, bring us back to life. No, yes. Yeah, so join us tomorrow. We'll have some more fun. We'll talk some shop with some indies. It'll be a good time. Hopefully, Sammy feels better tomorrow. That cough is really. It's one of those nagging coughs.
Yeah, it's just dry. I'm like, yo, what the bloody hell?
What is?
I feel good.
What is going on? Yeah, you back. But yeah, Sam. So that's all we got for tonight, guys. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out.
Yes, and make sure that you guys go.
Yeah, no. Continue to check out the Kickstarter for Kyler there. Let's get him funded. See how far we can get there. And what were you saying, Sam? What was your?
If you haven't done so already, go check out There's Nailing in My Toilet. There's 22 days left. The campaign is going strong again. So if you back the campaign and you're watching this episode right now, you will get this magnet right here, thong, in your package. It has to be a physical packing. And what's he saying? I'm going to see. It's a Wonderful Life, Sammy. Thank you. Great movie. Yes, it is. So don't forget. And if you have kids, if you have nephews and nieces, spread the word. If you have a birthday coming up, you want to give a gift, there's a great bundle for the kids. The kids will love it. I'm telling you, don't forget the kids. I know it might not be your cup of tea. Don't be that family at a Comic-Con where the kid sees the table, says, "Oh, mommy, I want that." And you take them away and you're like, "No, we're going to go get the Marvel books." Don't be that parent. Remember the kids, right? Put the kids first.
I gotta say, I love our audience, the people who watch the show. We had an indie on the show, you know, Kyler Merrill had his book, yep. Fletcher Cross, and he got two pledges tonight just from everybody watching. So thank you guys so much for supporting indies and doing what you do. You guys get down, man. You guys, you know, you're about it. So thank you so much. For doing that for the people who come on the show to promote their stuff. You really help out.
Yes.
But Sammy, so on that note, my friend.
On that note, everybody, thank you all for joining us tonight. With that said, I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
Peace. And we are
it's just easy kids. That's not
crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Aquis. I met him.
Say my name, say my name.
This is what you were thinking? Oh,
my. He described me. He said, I'm the.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze. On Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.